Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
And from the border of liberty and prosperity and the highway to north, this is Safety Wars for Monday, September 9th, 2024. We're here a couple minutes late. Sorry about that. Car trouble, dropping it off with the boss. Hope everybody had a safe weekend. Tell you what, now around this time of year, we always hear all these back to school type things out there. You know, you need to go out there and watch out for children doing this, and watch out for children playing in the street. And watch out for that. You know, you hear all this stuff, and it's like unbelievable. You know that we still have to hear about this stuff, where people wouldn't have more awareness. People, you know, they get wrapped up in what they're doing, and there's human error, like we always talk about, and everything else out there. So this past weekend, in an area that I'm very familiar with, Salem County, there were two people killed on. Going out for a bike ride. I used to bike ride in Salem County all the time. It's a story for another day. Then today we had a little child run over by a car one town over in Ramapo, and it's a horrible, horrible thing. So what are we talking about tonight? This is Disaster Preparedness Month. So on our last broadcast, we talked about what? We talked about medical type stuff. Now talk about what you know. That is what I always hear. So, by the way, before we go any further, right, we have the one promo here that we always play. See, can I? Here you go. OSHA recordables, catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Polzel with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy.
And I usually come in and say, yes, Jessica, I am your father. As a play on the old Star Wars Empire Strikes Back line. Well, we received some bad news on the way home this afternoon from one of my projects. James Earl Jones, an inspiration to anybody with a speech impediment, especially you stutterers, who played numerous roles. Right. Many, even though he was in Field of Dreams with Kevin Costner. He was the Darth Vader for almost all the movies, I think, all eight movies there. The last one, he was just not able to do it, is my understanding, if I'm recalling that correctly. He passed away in New York City today. I believe it was the New York City. Rest in peace. And I tell you what, his life story was actually pretty interesting with that, where he was born with a severe stutter. And his teacher, one of his teachers in school, so the story goes, obviously a teacher in school, but anyway, had to read something. It was for a part. They were doing a play, and everybody was shocked that with reading he was good, speaking conversationally not so good. And as someone with a speech issue, I tell you what, it was him being able to overcome that was important, because you have representation there of people who with that type of speech impediment. For me, it was Stacy Keach, and it's important not so much for the person who has that problem all the time, but it's very important for the parents of that person to see that there's hope. And I did not realize that until my wife and I were having lunch at a lunch or dinner, I forget which one it was, at a restaurant that we were frequently at when we first met and when we first got married in White Plains, New York. And we were having some type of celebration. I don't know what exactly it was. And what waitress comes up to me and says, "You don't know how much it means to me for you to be there." I said, well, I'm like, okay. She says, "My son was born with a cleft lip, cleft palate, and just born a couple of months ago, and now I have hope." Right? And that's what we're here about is, giving each other hope, supporting each other. Now, in that safety war, especially, I got into a conversation with one of the friends in the program here today. He didn't say I can mention his name, but one of the friends in the program, and he had said to me, "Everyone's burned out." I said, "Yeah, I know what that is. We burned out, and we're all okay. Not working. That's fine." Now we're all burned out here because we're seeing the same problems over and over and over and over again with all these job sites. I said, "Well, this is part of what we're doing here is trying to support each other on this program and as a resource and everything else." So just wanted to share that. Rest in peace, James Earl Jones. Now, FEMA, right, has this thing, Disaster Preparedness Month. Every program, we're going to try to do something on disaster preparedness. We're going to talk about storms, right? Because right now there is coming up the coast. Darn phone. Right now, coming up the coast of the eastern coast of the United States, it's hurricane season. And we're getting hurricane season everywhere, typhoon in the Pacific. We're having a lot of stuff come up here, storms. And there was, from the last storm, there's still people who are friends on social media that still have no power. They have no utilities. They're involved in what we called a Category 2 or a Category 3 disaster now, preparedness scenario now. They're going to be in there after, from 0 to 24, that's what I call scenario 1. Scenario 2 is like 24 to 96 hours, thereabouts, and then you have 96 hours and 30 days. They're in that area. And that's a totally different thing to prepare for, especially if you're in an area like the Jersey coast, like Florida, all the North Carolina, all those states on the East Coast. Do I have to list them all? Because I'm hearing all this stuff about people not knowing their geography. You should be shame on you. But anyway, so rather than going out there and, you know, you're involved in this, so this is often what happens. Always what happened back in the day before Superstorm Sandy in this area. And now we're getting back to pre-Superstorm Sandy mentality. All right? So we have a situation. Oh no, a storm is coming. A storm is brewing. It's coming up. It's going to get us. Oh, now everybody run out. And what do you get? Whether it's a winter storm, snow, hurricane, what have you, it's coming up. It's coming to get you. And you're going to run out to the store. What are you going to get? You get this strange urge to go and make French toast because you're getting milk. You're getting eggs. You're getting vanilla extract. That's the secret. Vanilla or almond extract. And you're getting bread, white bread, wheat bread. Well, you're out of white bread. Now we're going to wheat bread. Now, how does it taste with rye bread or pumpernickel French toast? I don't know. And then and you're running around and doing this and doing that, blah, 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 blah. And it's nutty. You're like going completely and totally nuts. Right? And I have a picture of the last storm we had, winter storm, the major one. It seems like all of the chips were out. So now there's this thing where we have to go, where we have the need for chips and salsa and sour cream dip and pretzels and everything else. You know? It's crazy. So, no. Now people will know, okay, what am I going to need? So, how long does it take to prepare for a disaster? To prepare for a major disaster, you're talking 2 to 3 weeks. That's for the normal ones. Fires, wildfires, floods, storms, things of that nature. So let's start out what you're going to need. You have a major storm coming up. Refer back to Friday's program where we talked about the medical information for the elderly and everything like that, and people who with mobility issues. That is who you have, the person who's the least mobile in your household or who you are responsible for is what you need to prepare for. Number one. Number two. Let's say that your basement has a history of flooding, right? Like ours does not, and did not before Superstorm Sandy, apparently, where when Superstorm Sandy came through in 2012, I think it was 2012, ends up flooding the area and raising the water table up by 2 or 3 feet. And the water table now has a new baseline or a base flow, base height, base depth, whatever you want to call it. So now houses that have no history of ever flooding, I'm on top of a hill. Now all of a sudden everybody is flooding, right? So now that's a new normal here. So we ended up getting a couple years back, 3 inches of water in the basement. And I tell you what, 3 inches of water causes a hell of a lot of damage. So the question is, if you know, no, now you have we didn't need a sump pump. Never flooded here. Well, guess what? Now we have 2 sump pumps, and we have, we have all the methods and means of clearing out a flood here, but we will never get higher than 3 inches here with the way the basement's designed. So, again, what do? We make sure everything is off the ground, make sure the pumps are running, make sure that we have a method and a means of powering those pumps if power goes out, because that's a major issue here. We need to have a generator strong enough to pump all the water out of the basement, pump the supply power to the sump pumps, one there, one here, and to pump all the water out. Very, very critical for us. We have to make sure we have enough fuel for the generator. How much fuel are you, now? You got a generator, you got a power outage. How much fuel do you need? Where are you going to store it? Where are you going to store it safely? Are you going to get some type of gasoline stabilizer in that fuel so it's not all full of water? Is where you're storing it? Is it all full of? Is that going to flood out? All of this stuff has to be decided ahead of time. And when you have an impending storm, now you have to go in and you have to figure out, right, with the impending storm, all right, hey, we're going to have 3 or 4 hours. We're going to have 3 or 4 days. It's coming up. Let's go and get our supplies. Let's put our gasoline where it needs to go. Let's put, maybe some people have enough money to get a whole house generator. There are companies out there that do that. How are you going to fuel? All this stuff comes into it. Next thing is, do I have enough extension cords if I have a portable generator? Is the electric in good shape? Are those cords in good shape? If you have a larger generator, do you have a ground spike for that? Every year, I think there's something like 400 people a year in this country, the United States, that die from carbon monoxide poisoning. And what happens with carbon monoxide poisoning? They take the generator, they put it in the house. Before you know it, the exhaust, because there's incomplete combustion from a gasoline engine, and they fill up the house with carbon monoxide. They end up going to sleep and dying. It's a major problem. That's what you need to prepare for. Now, move on with food. What are you going to need? We know, assuming that you have, your community has its groove node together, you're going to go out and you're going to go out and have 96, they say 96 hours of food available. Why is this important? 96 hours, because that's when they figure they're going to have be mobilized. I can tell you this, in a major disaster, it's going to go a little bit longer than that, like it did here. So what do you want? You want canned food. Things that you normally eat. Not stuff that you are is experimental. You want to make sure it tastes good. You're going to prepare it properly. Doesn't need to be heated. Doesn't need to be cooked. What is the deal? So usually, and again, there's no guarantee here, a refrigerator, after it loses power, often I always hear that will last between 12 and 24 hours, will remain cold, and same thing with a freezer. Now, guess what? Now you have to have discipline, especially if you, usually the preppers out there have discipline, not so much the people or meat that they have in their other people in their household. Toddlers. Now keep the refrigerator closed. They keep on wanting to keep the refrigerator closed. They keep wanting to open up. Keep the refrigerator closed. Not going to work. So what do you do? Got to have discipline on that. Open it up only as necessary. Now, as far as the gas lines are concerned, usually they tell us as long as there's not a rupture, and in a storm there may be a rupture if you have natural gas lines coming into the house, usually 2 to 3 days is what they're saying. I wouldn't try it out. I would find out a method of food, whether you're going to have heating up food, whether it's going to be a propane grill with a portable propane tank. Is it going to be an electric thing? Do we have some type of barbecue? Do we have a campfire? Do we have a fire pit? Right? How is this? Don't forget, if you have canned food, that those electric can openers aren't going to work so well. Come back. How much fuel? You got to calculate. Do a dry run, so to speak, and calculate what you're going to need. Find out for the generator. Again, with that. Now, let's say that you're dealing with weather extremes. You're in the middle of winter. You're in the middle of summer. Summer, a little bit easy to manage in a disaster. You just got to find a way to stay cool. In the wintertime, how do you stay warm, especially if you don't have a fireplace in the house? Wood-burning stove. Things of that nature. Right? Or yes, they do make wood-burning boilers, but you need a permit for that. And everything else. Now you have to worry about pipes freezing. How are you going to mitigate that? Maybe, and I'm not, again, I'm peer-to-peer here. Maybe you need to look at how are we going to heat up those pipes? How are we going to keep them from freezing? Because what happens is, yeah, okay, we're good, it's cold, but now we're going to have freezing pipes, and now we're going to have a flood. That I've been in many situations like that over the years, not with me personally, but I've had to respond to emergencies like that with freezing pipes. All right, let's go to commercial break. Let me catch a breath, get some something to drink here, and I will be right back.
You are listening to Safety Wars. Tomorrow's Safety Today.
I'm sure you've heard the news. Safety training is evolving, and you should be too. Outdated safety training isn't just boring, it's dangerous. If your safety trainer is still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety from 25 years ago, it's time for a change. Imagine safety training that actually addresses the hazards unique to your workplace. No more generic, one-size-fits-all solutions. The Safety Wars team at SafetyWars.com is here to revolutionize how you approach safety with customized training that's relevant, engaging, and effective. Contact Jim Polzel at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you're receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces. Say goodbye to outdated safety training and hello to a safer, more productive environment. Visit safetywars.com now.
In a world where danger lurks in every corner, one man stands as a beacon of hope. Jim Posel, a veteran safety expert with over 3 decades of experience, now bringing his knowledge to you with Safety Wars. Engaging, informative, and always relevant. That's Safety Wars. Join the safety revolution with Safety Wars, available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts and videos.
All right, so here we are back. Hold on, let's...
Safety Wars is streaming now.
SafetyFM.com.
From the front lines of the safety war, it's Safety Wars, with your host, Jim Posel on Safety FM. Get ready to face the harsh reality.
All right, so where were we? We were talking about water, right, and freezing things and weather-related hazards. Again, how are you going to manage that? Just having the conversation, well, you're much better off than everywhere else here, than everyone else. So you just have a conversation. That's what our conversations were over the weekend at church, where I am doing a disaster preparedness talk on September 22nd. If you're interested, if you're up in the Rockland County area, you could come and visit me, and we could, you can attend. Just send me, contact me, and we'll go there, and I'll give you information. The same thing is on October 25th. The ASSP of Hudson Valley is going to be hosting their professional development series at the Rockland County Firehouse. All-day event. You get 0.6 CEUs for that, reportedly. I can't guarantee that, but that's what I'm told here on their paperwork. But anyway, so food, what are you going to do, right? Preparing it and everything else. The next thing, creature comforts. Think about it. Creature comforts. Well, what do you mean, Jim? I'm going to tell you this. I know this from Superstorm Sandy and some of the other disasters we've had here. That's the big one, because we were out without anything for 11 days. Big one is clean clothes. And you're going to say, Jim, what's the big deal, clean clothes? Well, if you're going to be messing around with a generator or anything else, or doing storm cleanup, make sure you have 2 sets of clothes, a work clothes, and then you have whatever else, doing whatever else clothes. Now, you're going to say, well, what do you do as far as clothes? I said, well, when I know that there is a storm coming, I make sure that we do one thing, laundry, and I take laundry, number one. Number two, make sure all your kitchen utensils are clean. Make sure you don't have any dirty dishes, because you maybe have, why add to the problem? And number three is showers. Everyone's, okay, we're all going to take nice long hot showers, because we may not be without, we may not have a shower for a couple of days at least. Those are the creature comforts. The other thing is this. No, and I always have, right, the radio, transistor radio. Plus, how are you going to communicate? Cell phone towers may be out. Do you need walkie-talkies? There are many different brands out there, and there's many different options for communicating without a cell phone. And the other thing is, what are you going to do to occupy yourself? Usually, things are a little bit easier, because depending on the time of year, because when it gets dark out, you go to bed, and when it gets light out, you get up. Really easy. What are you going to do outside of that? You have a whole society addicted to these things. Cell phones. Guess what? You can't use the cell phones. Only for emergencies, for outbound, receiving calls. Are you going to put call forwarding on all the cell phones to go to one phone? That way you only have one phone on at a time? You make things last? Are you going to have supplemental batteries out there? All different types of external battery sources that you can have for that, some better than others. I mean, I have a product that'll that's good for like five iPhone chargers. 3 to 5, depending on what you're doing, the size of the iPhone and everything else. I have another battery that's good for like 30 cell phone chargers. No, 30, 40. Also supplies power for everything else. How about your batteries for these transistor radios? Solar panels, right? Got solar panels. And these things here, LED lights. I got studio lights here that are LED. Those are part of our plan because they use the least amount of power when we do have the generators. That's where the LEDs come in handy. And before that, the CF compact fluorescent bulbs, right? CFBs, I think they were, right? Little squiggly things with mercury in them. No, they're great. Well, less mercury towards the end, but I get when they stop, you know, but anyway. All of these things have to be thought of ahead of time. What are you going to, because I tell you what, people are going to go stir crazy. It used to be with the cigarettes, right? You'd always hear people, growing up, we had in the Cold War, no hell, the cigarettes would become a commodity. And right now, nobody smokes. Very rare, a lot fewer people, especially in the Northeast, smoke. I mean, still get people smoking, but not like it used to be. Well, now, I predict the new thing is going to be cell phones. Everyone's without a cell phone. Now what the hell do you do? Right now I am converting all my my family member, one of my family members, he wants all of his CDs converted over to MP3 files for putting them on an MP3 player. He doesn't want a smartphone, so everything's going on to an MP3 player for him. So that's another thing that we're doing here. How you can entertain our books, games. Again, that's the psychological problem that people are going to have. We went about a month ago here with where we had an internet outage here in town. People were freaking going nuts. I had to hear from families. Jimmy, we were just looking at each other for hours and hours and hours. We didn't know what to do. There is one of our listeners out there, right, who during the pandemic, she got at her Christmas card list, and she wrote everybody Christmas cards and greeting cards. That was her way of... Leslie is her name. That was her way of finding something to do, right, during the pandemic, right, to keep her mind going. Not only she got tired of reading, she got tired of watching TV. We'll comment on that after this. Got tired of watching TV, and, she had to find something to occupy her time. She started writing out letters and greeting cards and things of that nature. And, again, what do you do? I would hope on a certain level that you go out and you help your community and help those less fortunate band together. And that's all I have. I talked about this for, 26 minutes roughly on disaster preparedness, and we're going to take our next commercial break here.
This is going to blow your mind. There's a new daytime talk show on your local cable access station. What happens when safety, scandal, and heartbreak collide? Welcome to Safety Wars, the talk show. Today's episode is a doozy. Imagine confronting your unsafe supervisor who just happens to be your ex-wife's new hubby. Talk about a powder keg. But wait, there's more. We've got an exclusive interview with a corporate exec who's taken out life insurance policies on his riskiest workers, hoping to cash in on a deadly mishap. Yup, you heard that right. It's a real-life plot twist you can't make up. Tune in as Jim Posel, CSP, our very own Jerry Springer of Safety, dives deep into this explosive confrontation. Sparks will fly and secrets will be exposed. Catch the full episode on Safety Wars on YouTube and your favorite podcast platform. Don't miss out on the drama that could save your life. Like and share now and stay safe, folks. Hey there, safety professionals. Welcome to another episode of Safety Wars on Safety FM, hosted by Jim Posel, and today we're diving into what it really means to be on the front lines of the safety war. So, let's start with the basics. Safety is not just a set of rules or regulations. It's a culture, a mindset, a way of life. When we talk about safety, we're not just protecting workers from harm. We're building an environment where everyone can thrive. It's about going home safe and sound to our families every single day. Now, I know it sounds like a heavy responsibility, but that's why we're here. To make sure everyone understands the importance of safety and knows how to implement it effectively. Whether you're a seasoned safety professional or just starting out, there's always something new to learn. Let's talk about some key strategies. First up, communication. It's critical to ensure that everyone on the team is on the same page. Regular safety meetings, clear signage, and open dialogue can prevent a lot of accidents before they even happen. Next, let's focus on training. Proper training equips your team with the knowledge and skills they need to stay safe. Remember, it's not just about ticking a box. It's about making sure every worker understands the why behind each safety protocol. This understanding fosters a culture of safety where everyone looks out for one another. Of course, we can't forget about technology. From wearable safety devices to advanced monitoring systems, technology is revolutionizing how we approach safety. Embrace it. Use these tools to enhance your safety programs and keep your team protected. But let's not get too comfortable. Safety is an ongoing battle. New risks and challenges emerge all the time. Stay vigilant, stay informed, and never stop striving for a safer workplace. So, what's the takeaway? Safety is everyone's responsibility. It's about creating a culture where safety is ingrained in everything we do. As safety professionals, it's our job to lead by example and inspire our teams to commit to a safer future. Thanks for tuning into Safety Wars on Safety FM. Stay safe out there, and remember, every day is a new opportunity to make a difference. Catch you on the next episode.
So, we're going to talk a little bit about politics. Like, well, Jim, it's not a political program. I think at this point, it's, at least in my world, it's becoming very interesting here, politics, with everything. By the way, all of the new music here is all royalty-free, so don't go hoarding me here. Right? We only use royalty-free music. And what the issue here is this. What are we talking about? Well, we're getting very close. People are starting to lose their minds. This is sort of like last September when I did a program on the logistics of getting together a political campaign. That reminds me, I got to send that program out to some people who are asking for a link to it. But what the idea is, people I'm seeing are getting wrapped up in their own propaganda. Where you're starting to hear, right? We already have confirmation bias here, and largely where we screen our news and we go to news sources that confirm what we believe, what we want to hear. And this is actually starting to become a real safety issue, a safety, mental safety, but also a threat to our republic. People keep calling it democracy. We don't live in a democracy. We live in a republic. Local level, democracy. Federal level, republic. And it's becoming, as I see it, a real threat, because this is what is causing a lot of the division in this country is this. Right? We were always told, Gen Xers, not so much baby boomers, because they were involved in the Cultural Revolution of their own. But the Gen Xers, hey, learn about other people. Learn about what they're doing. I continue to hear that. So I'm willing to hear the other side, and maybe I will change my mind. That's wishful thinking on my part if I think that's going to be with most other people. Most other people that I deal with, they have their mindset. No one's going to deal with that. And we're going to talk about that leadership in the very near future, especially on October 25th, ASSP event right down the road from me here in Pomona, New York. They're not going to listen to you. It's basically, so they get more and more ingrained in what they hear because now they're getting more and more of their facts. And it's not a left or right wing thing. It's a both thing. And it's starting to have a problem because people are getting to the point where they're not listening to reason. I think that is what we're fighting for here is reason here, where you have just going crazy here. And so, trolling, for lack of a better word, a lot of the political sites, the Facebook groups and some of the LinkedIn posts that are out there, even though that's a professional platform, and some of the other ones. And you get from both sides, oh, well, Mr. Trump can never tell the lie and can never do this, blah, 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 blah. And that Kamala Harris, boy, is she a liar and she lies on this, 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 and this. And then you go to the other side. Well, Kamala Harris can't tell a lie. She's a fountain of truth, and no, she'll never tell a lie. And that other guy tells only lies. Where in reality, where's the truth lie here? Somewhere in the middle here, and you got to make your own choices based on that, what your own values are, where you want to go to. Try not to let other people influence you. One of the things with COVID, what happened here was people sat down and they said, what the bleep am I doing? Why am I doing this? My life stinks. Can I reinvent myself? And especially in the restaurant field, in the food service industries, what has happened? Very difficult to find servers anymore. They lost all their servers. Now there is a new crop of servers, and guess what? They're a little bit different. Right now, they demand a tip. Right here, Mr. Posel, here's your card reader, and right off the bat, it says 25% tip, 10% trip, 15% all the way down. And when you look at the receipt at the screen. Now, let's say I go out with another family. There are already over six or seven people going for dinner. Guess what? The tip is already in there. Factor in there. And they want a 25% on top of that. I mean, that's a little bit nervy, in my opinion. But now, what am I going to do? Now, and they will reflect, and they're acting accordingly. This is where we have a lot of the social upheaval we've had over the last couple of years, especially in the diversity, equity, and inclusion topic that we talked about so recently. So people don't do that anymore. Back in the day, people would talk about politics. People would have difficult discussions. Today, people don't want that. And that's one of the things they're always fighting with the safety war that we're talking about in the workplaces. Nobody wants to have uncomfortable discussions. We're just going to get along. We're just going to get along. Well, when we don't have discussion, debate, dissension, anything like that, that's when you run into a problem. And that's what we're seeing here, where dissension isn't even allowed with this. They say don't discuss politics, don't discuss religion, and don't discuss money. Oh, so what do people talk about? Well, they don't talk about any of those three. So what do we have, a financial crisis? We have, a political crisis with as Sheldon Primus correctly pointed out, we have a government that doesn't function on the federal level and on the majority of the states. We have people who don't talk about religion. Oh, well, religion's not important. Oh, really? Religion's not important. Do you think that it's what do you think is going to happen if we don't talk? Let's stop broadening it out. Morality. What do you think is going to happen when we don't talk about morality and religion? my opinion, I think this is, again, very controversial. We're not going to, you know, nobody wants to talk about it. Very controversial. What happens? Now we have laws and we have prisons. Because we're religion, regardless of what that religion was, we're trying to keep people in check, talk about moral type things. My own faith tradition, the Ten Commandments, right? Don't kill, don't do this, blah, blah, blah. Did we fall short? Absolutely. Now no one wants to talk about it. One thing I'll say about the some of the other faiths out there, Hindu, Jewish, I don't know too much about the Muslim faith, but there's probably a lot of truth in that too. People talk where this is the truth. People talk and discuss things. And with the Jewish and Hindu, I know that's true. Philosophy. Anything like that. And again, so what's my point? Getting back to it. I went into the weeds. Getting back. We have people out there believing their own propaganda. And guess what? If things don't turn out their way, I don't care if Mr. Trump or Kamala Harris wins. If things don't turn out their way, we're going to have a freaking problem here. Right. Oh, and by the way, I'm on both mailing lists for the Democrats and Republicans, so I know what I talk about, what I speak about. So this is the other thing. This is from Study Finds. This is from Click Storage. Chris Miller wrote this article talking about the change in electoral map by the year 2100. With 2024 being an election year, plenty of people are sizing up each state in America based on its impact on the Electoral College. Remember, if you're not from this country, we vote for electors. And probably should post the other program from last year. Since the population of each state helps to determine this number, it really does matter when people say they're moving to a red or blue state. With that in mind, a new study finds that the United States could see some major voting changes. So the company Click Storage, they rent storage units. They are able to figure out, because people are moving and they get a storage type thing, a storage area for their stuff for the interim. Same thing with U-Haul is another one. And I'm not giving plugs. I'm just stating it like it is. So basically things are being moved from the north, right, New York, Illinois, and even California out west, and they are moving, people are moving to Texas, right, Florida, California, despite recent changes, including a modest decline of 0.2% in 2023, they are going to grow by 53 million. Basically, around technology and the entertainment industry. That surprises the hell out of me. North Carolina doesn't surprise me. Everybody here has started leaving here in the mid-90s and moving down to the Carolinas. A couple of friends of the program did that. Here, Tom and another person, Dawn, right, here, moved down there. Friends of the program. Mirroring North Carolina's trajectory, Georgia is set to double its population to 23,681 by 2100, given what it's going to be. Even here in New York, right, probably due to the migrants over here that we're having the influx of, by 2100, everything's going to grow. So what are the top 10 states? Texas, Florida, California, North Carolina, Georgia, top five. New York is going to be another hub. Washington State is going to almost triple its population here. Arizona, more than double. Virginia, double, almost. Colorado, almost triple the thing. So guess what? This is going to be an earthquake for the Electoral College map here. So, So what does this come down to? This is going to, unless things change, this is where all of the campaigning is going to be in the next, over the next 80 years. It's going to be a shift to those states The other thing is, that's where real estate looks like it's going to be more valuable. Okay, what else do we have here? Jim, we want to hear about worker fatality. Okay, let's hear about it. Now, this happened a while back here. This is mind-blowing for me here. So I do a lot of safety audits for tech companies. And so I could see this happening, especially when you have the hybrid work type stuff. So where you have don't know who's going to be in the office from day to day. A woman named Denise Prudhomme, 60, scanned into Wells Fargo in Tempe, Arizona on Friday, August 16th. By the way, that's a huge building there, if that's a corporate office. She died at her desk and wasn't found until the following Tuesday. People dying at work from a safety breach or from stress still happens much too regularly. Again, amazing. Here they left. They found her there. How are you going to account for that? Do you have an accountability log? Who goes in and who comes out? Access control, something. With that, reportedly, she was getting a little bit rife here. Not to be make a joke out of this, she started. They did this on odor. It's incredible here. The hybrid. Okay, here we have, and this happens quite often here. New York is very fond of its parkways here. This is a road that I drive fairly regularly. This is from driver charged in fatal wrong-way crash on Hutchinson River Parkway was intoxicated, allegedly. The driver accused in a fatal wrong-way collision on Hutchinson River Parkway in Westchester County was intoxicated on his phone at the time of the crash, according to a criminal complaint. And this happened in Rye, New York, right in the neighborhood of where my wife often goes to work. Again, I've seen cars do this, and this could very easily happen if you're not paying attention, like if you're on the phone or you get onto the wrong way. This happens once or twice a year. My question is this. There's got to be a control in place for this. Has to be some kind of control in place. I don't know. What's the thing? You know, you're driving down the road, you have a single dash white line, right? And then you see all of the cars coming the other way. You see all of the backs of all the signs. You miss the do not enter sign or wrong way sign. I don't know. Being loaded, you know. Here we go. Boom, boom, boom. On September 5th, a Long Island mother was charged in her whopping 57th license suspension for a wrong-way collision that killed her 9-year-old in late August. Two men were killed in Harlem on August 21st after a pickup truck came barreling down the wrong side of the highway. That was probably Henry Hudson on that one. Happens. Fatal construction accident near Bel Air claims life of worker next to machinery. This is from a couple weeks ago. A tragic accident occurred at a hillside residential construction site near Bel Air, this is California, where a worker was fatally injured while working near heavily construction equipment, according to multiple sources. The accident, which involved a man whose identity has not yet been disclosed, blah, blah, blah. Again, footage captured by a camera hints at the involvement of the truck loader or skid steer fitted with an auger attachment. The equipment was positioned at the base of a steep embankment where a tarp commonly used to cover the deceased was seen adjacent to the machine's treads. I don't know what happened here with this. Might it have slid down the hill? I don't know. There was really no update to this here with this. But I tell you what, those auger attachments on a skid steer, very dangerous. I saw a video of one time where someone was standing on silt fencing or on a fabric membrane for like a, what's it called? Garden, right? A garden bed. So you know, weeds don't come up. He decided it was all covered by like 6 inches of dirt. What happened? They're working with the auger, and it sucks the guy into the auger and kills him. All caught on closed circuit TV back in the day. Okay. All right. With that. Now, I got a lot of emails and everything like this from this. Where is it? One dead and two injured. This is from Friday after a boom lift falls and crushes a van in West Philadelphia. One worker is dead and two others are seriously injured after a boom lift fell on Friday afternoon in West Philadelphia. The lift tipped on to a side and fell onto a van, splitting the vehicle in half. I don't think that was the right way to describe it, but it crushed it right down the middle. I think that would be a better way. Now, this is what some of the... Right, so, they're doing a big investigation. So, I do boom lift and scissor lift training here, aerial lift, articulating lift training. Same thing goes with a forklift. What causes this stuff to fall over, do you think? The ground, right? Often. So what's the first thing you need to do as part of that? Hold on. Telling people to be quiet here. All right. So you got to make sure you don't have soft ground. This equipment is very heavy, like 50,000 pounds from what I've seen with the one that they had here involved in the accident. I'm looking at the photos here. Got to make sure the ground is solid that you're in. And the other thing is this, if you're in a cold environment, or if you're, right, what happens? In the morning you have frozen ground, afternoon you have, it thaws out, the thing may flip over, roll over. That's an issue that you got to be prepared for with this. The other thing is this, there were three people in the boom lift. Was that thing rated for three people? I don't know. That's where I would be looking. And, of course, what's the first thing that they're going to ask for? And it's a leading indicator that is often used by investigators, is this. Where's the checklist? Where's the inspection checklist? Guess what? You don't have an inspection checklist. That's a leading indicator that you're not a safe company to work with. Now, that, you know, sort of like, here it is. Right? You're wondering, no, they look at you like you're crazy on these jobs. No, you got to make sure you have a checklist for that. Who says? Well, it doesn't specifically say in the OSHA regulation, but you got to prove that you did an inspection. Only way you can do that is in writing or on video now, right? You can use the smartphone. They do have some good things. The other thing is this. Go through the checklist. Next thing they're going to ask for is training. Where do they get the training? Next thing they're going to ask for is if you're on the street, was that barricaded off, either with a hard barricade or cones? A truck. Do you have a crash truck? Most companies that operate these things on the street have some kind of a crash truck. Is it overloaded? What was the wind speed on this? Were they, did they defeat any of the safety devices in there that made this thing go higher or lower? And what's the age of this? When was the last time this was third party inspected? Did this have any recalls? And that's just the short list of what they're going to look for when it comes to a boom lift accident. Now, my opinion, the more dangerous of the two between boom lift and scissor lift is the scissor lift. Why? First of all, scissor lifts do not have a mandatory tie-off. Certain sites have mandatory tie-offs, but not all sites have mandatory tie-offs here. So what happens? What happens is they, what happens is people don't tie off. People think they could start climbing on, to get extra reach. They start climbing on railings and they end up falling out. Been on a couple of accidents where that happened. So what I'm going to tell you folks is this. Make sure you have your stuff together all the time with this stuff. All right? And that's what I'm going to tell you. All right? All right. That's all I have for tonight. We're right up on the edge here, and we're going to say good night. And there is our outro.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guests and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.